We close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, there are many of us here this morning who have faced difficult times in the past week. And it was only because of our dependence completely upon you that we had the strength to face up to the new situation that confronted us. We thank you that you are a redeemer in every experience of life. And now we come apart and we listen carefully that our ears may hear the still small voice that we desperately need to hear. Speak to each one of us that word that will enable us to take the next step of growth in the Christian life. We know that that word will come in various ways, but we're open to hear your voice amidst all the noises surrounding us. And we thank you. We thank you from the depths of our hearts for the experiences that we're anticipating to have before we leave this time of worship in spirit and in truth. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We face a very difficult chapter. The sixth chapter is long, it's complicated, and we can't possibly cover important points in, say, 15 minutes, several hours perhaps. And I do suggest that we will be looking at this for a couple weeks to come. It all comes to the previous conclusion that after Jesus had fed more than 5,000 men, not counting their wives and their children, that the disciples got into a boat and they expected to go back to the area of Capernaum, and there was a terrible windstorm and their lives were threatened, even though they were experienced fishermen and boatmen. And then suddenly, a surprise that was difficult for anyone to comprehend, there was the living Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and they found that they were right at the edge of Capernaum. Now, I think some of us, in fact, I know that some of us, because of our educational backgrounds, have a real question about, did they really see Jesus walking on the water? This is backed up suddenly by what is said beginning with verse 22 in the sixth chapter. The next day, the crowd remained on the other side of the sea. That is to say, they were on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They were in the area of, at that time, the Decapolis. And behind them were the Golan Heights. And they had been only one boat there. And the disciples had taken that boat, but they all realized that Jesus did not get in it. So the question would be, what happened to Jesus? And other boats came from Tiberias, not from Capernaum. And as they came near, the people gave thanks that there was now transportation for them. So verse 24, so when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now the rest of chapter 6, some people don't realize this, is really a sermon that was taught by Jesus in the synagogue at Capernaum. The Apostle John is quoting Jesus word for word. But before that, they found Jesus on the other side of the sea. That is to say, instead of being in the eastern section, they were now back in the Galilean section. And they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, this is support for Jesus walking on the sea. The disciples saw it. They believed it. The rest just heard about it. So Jesus answers them, and once again, throughout this particular translation, whenever you see truly, truly, Jesus is actually saying, amen, amen. Now, no one else would dare say that. Jesus, in effect, is saying, listen, this is the word of God to you. Now, that is quite startling. That is quite challenging. And he's saying, why are you seeking me? Are you seeking because you ate your fill over in the Decapolis? Well, perhaps that's the reason. But I'm warning you, do not work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that endures to eternal life. And that raises the question, what food would endure to eternal life? And then Jesus said, and notice he doesn't call himself the Messiah. He doesn't call himself the prophet. He calls himself the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. The seal is really the symbol, you belong to me, you represent me. So those who heard him said, what must we do to do the works of God? Now, what do we have to do? How good do we have to be? How many good deeds? How many deeds do we have to repent of? That's not the answer. The answer is, this is the work of God. And it's quite shocking. Now remember, Jesus is teaching this to the people who are listening to him in the synagogue in Capernaum, that you may believe in him whom he has sent. And Jesus is talking about himself. And so they said to him, what sign do you do? Well, how many signs does he have to do? That we may see and believe you. What work do you perform? And they point out that when Moses was leading them in the wilderness, the fathers ate manna. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus immediately responds to that, amen, amen. I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, what this chapter is all about is what really takes place in what we call the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And I want to take you back in a personal experience for a moment. I had always known from the time I was a child until the time I joined the church at the age of 11 on a Holy Thursday night in 1937. I had gone through a communicants class. I had been well taught by the pastor. I learned a lot. And then I was set apart. And something is quite different from most of you. I was almost 12 years old. And for the first time, I had the experience of taking communion. I wasn't permitted to take it as a child. I needed to understand more before I was permitted. And now this is explained. What is the bread of God? What is it that gives life to the world? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And my question would be, have you experienced that? You know, for the first time, I experienced taking communion at the beginning of a service. It was at a church nearby that a lot of people here experience. And we practice that here. And my question would be, why? I want you to think about something. The scripture is God's word to the church everywhere throughout the world at all times. The message is a message to a given congregation. The sacrament, the taking of the bread, the taking of the wine, the taking of the little chip that has been dipped in grape juice. What is that? It is something that is very personal. But the question is it personal? And when you take it, and when you put it in your mouth, what are the thoughts in your heart and mind? This is the question. Are you thinking about the source of the bread of life, the bread of God? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger or never thirst. Is that true? Well, this is the point. This is in Gospel of John. What are you supposed to be thinking about when you take that small white chip that is slightly wet with grape juice? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your heart and mind? The Father gives me, everyone the Father gives to me comes to me. Are you coming to Jesus? Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Have you experienced that? For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus came down from heaven. He is saying that he is identified with that element that you take when you take the Last Supper, Holy Communion, the Eucharist. And I'm wondering, is that what really goes through your mind? Or do you look at that little wafer that's been dipped in grape juice, do you put it in your mouth, and do you sit down, and do you think about it at all? Do you just wait for the next hymn to be sung? Or do you realize that Jesus is protecting you, that Jesus is in you, that it is the bread of life? Well, that's what's symbolized, but do you get it? Do you get it? And if you don't, why not? What's going through your head when you participate in our Lord's Last Supper with his disciples? Do you know the oneness with Jesus that you could be experiencing? I have chosen you. The Lord God Almighty, my Heavenly Father, has put you in my care. I do not do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, there's a lot more here. If you want to avoid it, you better not come to church next week, or the next week, or the next week. Do you want to know the content, the depth of meaning, the profoundness of the words that are in this text? That's an open question. Do you want to know? Do you want to become a faithful disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are difficult decisions. What are we to think right now? Do we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today? Come into my heart to stay? I would have the strength of the Holy Spirit within me, enabling me to be a faithful disciple, not just at this moment, but in the days ahead. And I thank you for your grace and mercy. In the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.